Okay, it would seem in this week's beginning of this week's Sedra that the Torah put the cart before the horse. An example. Person says, you know, I want to build a house and I need materials. So I have to go buy materials. He doesn't say, hey, let's buy materials and then decide he's going to build a house. But that's what the Torah said. The Torah says, take from me an offering, right? The equally truma, take an offering, and it lists what the things are, gold, silver, whatever, and then it says, and build a mishkan. It's the opposite order. First it say, let's build a mishkan, and then take an offering and give me the materials. Why does it mention the materials first? There's another place in the Torah where there's a similar problem. And that's when they went to build the Tower of Babel. The Torah says they came to a valley, and they said, "Hey, let's make bricks, right?" And the bricks became like stone, and then they said, "Hey, let's build a tower." Mm-hmm. Now, opposite order. First, they should have said, "Hey, let's build a tower. Now we need bricks. Now let's build bricks. Hey, we now got bricks. What are we doing with it? Build a tower." Same exact question. Okay. So what I want to say is the following. The goal is not to build a mishkan. That's only a means. Because it says, V'osuli mikdash, make for me a mikdash, v'shochanti b'socham, and I will dwell amongst them. And Chazal say, what does it mean? In the heart of each and every one. God does not dwell in that building. But the building is a means to have God's presence dwell in the heart of every Jew. So the real goal is not to build a building. That's not the goal. The goal is to somehow prepare a place in one's heart that God should be able to dwell there. Then the means are, we'll see in one second, the offering, the donation, and the building of the building. The Avnei Nezer says, that's why the Mikdash is called a Mikdash and a Mishkan. It's a mikdash from the Jewish people's side. They have to sanctify themselves. And then God will dwell amongst them. So we make a mikdash. We sanctify ourselves. And then God makes it into a mishkan, a place where God will dwell. The Kotzker Rebbe said, right, every Jew has to make within him a place where God can dwell. He has to become that mishkan. And the Svasemet says, and through that which we donate, right, the Bnei Yisrael donate their materials, right, that brings to God dwelling amongst them. And the Nefesh HaChaim says, that's what it says, it doesn't say that God will dwell b'socho in it, but b'socham in them. Okay. And that's what the song goes, the poem, Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. I'll build a Mishkan in my heart. And therefore, the main goal was to create a place in the heart where God will dwell. The means to do that first was making this donation. What does it say? Me'es, v'yikuli truma, me'es kol ish ashiyit venu libo. That his heart will move him, right, to donate, right? That in itself created a place in the heart that was fit for God to dwell. And then you built the actual Mishkan, right, which then permitted God to dwell within the heart. So it's not the cart before the horse. It's the horse before the cart. Because the main thing was not building the Mishkan, nor even getting the materials. The main thing was creating a place in your heart which was fit for God to dwell in. And the way to do that was first to move your heart to make this donation, which we'll see in one second how that worked. How does that work? How does giving a donation to be able to build a Mishkan create the place in the heart where God can dwell? The first thing is by giving. The Mechtam Eliyahu says that giving creates a love, a kesher, a bond. Right? Giving creates a bond. When I give to someone, it creates a bond of love between me and the person I'm giving to. That's why a mother, right, has a tremendous bond with a child, because she gives so much. She gave of her body for that child for 9 months. So therefore, the first step in creating a place in your heart where God can dwell is to take your heart and use it to give to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Secondly, right, by giving, you become a more objective person. People who take are very subjective. All they see is themselves. And in order to really perceive God, you have to be a person who is objective. Because if you look objectively at the world, you'll see the Ribbono Shel Olam. Mm-hmm. But if you are moved by your negiyus, by your desires, right, by your bias, by your subjectivity, you'll see only yourself. They say there's a difference between a mirror and a window. A window, you see everything. A mirror, you only see yourself. What's the difference? A little silver. Put a little silver on the window, it becomes a mirror. Silver means kesef, desires, money, bias. Once you have the bias, all you see is yourself. Take away the bias, you can see the entire world and see God also. Therefore, Avshalom Shem Folhurst says, the mitzvah of emunah, believing in God, is not the mitzvah of the knowledge of God, because everybody has that knowledge deep down. Just look at the world. You'll see an orderly world, right? Complex world, must have had a creator. It's the acknowledgement of that fact. Not the knowledge of the fact, but acknowledging it. And therefore, the Kovetz Mamorim, Rabbi Chonim Wasserman, Hashem Yim Kam Domo, says you shouldn't go after your heart. That's false ideologies. Because false ideologies are not in your mind. They're in your heart. Because it's your heart that, with your bias and your subjectivity and your desires, you see what you want to see. If you were objective, you'd have a straight mind and be able to see things the way they really are. So the next step in making your heart a place where God can fill it is to be an objective person. By giving and not taking, you become more objective. In addition, by giving, the Maharal says, you become more spiritual. By giving up physical things, you become a more spiritual person and therefore have a greater bond with God, and God then can occupy your heart. There's another idea, though. By giving material possessions and dedicating them to God, right, you give the truma is called reishis, the beginning. You dedicate the beginning to God, so it sets the pattern for everything else. So you elevate and sublimate all the physical things in service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and by doing that, you enable yourself to be a place where God can devolve. God's presence can dissolve. The Orachayim HaKadosh says that Truma is called Reishis, the beginning, the foundation, the root. And Klal Yisrael are called the beginning. So by giving their beginning to God, God's presence can then connect to the beginning called the Jewish people. The Sfasemis also says, in the power of our donating, right, and elevating everything, to be there to serve God, you elevate it to be a kli, a vessel with which to serve God, right? God's name then devolves on everything else. So in order to bring godliness in the world, you have to dedicate the physical material world and elevate it towards godliness. So those are all the steps of preparing your heart to be a place where God can dwell. By giving towards God creates a bond and love. By giving, you become more objective and you're able to see God and believe in Him more. By giving, you become more spiritual. And by giving things to God, you elevate the material and physical world, right, and set the pattern for everything about you to be godly. Those are the ways. So therefore, the first stage of the goal. The goal is prepare your heart to be a place where God can devolve. So give me a truma from your heart, and then we'll build a mishkan with the various vessels and the mishkan itself to enable God to devolve into your heart. So it's not the horse before the cart. It's not the cart before the horse. It's the horse before the cart. And the opposite was by Migdal Bavel. There, their main intention was to disassociate themselves from God. Keep them out of the picture. We want to run this world. That was what the sin of the Tower of Bavel was. And therefore they said, we're tired of being subordinate to God and using his things. We don't want rocks. Rocks are what God made. We want to make bricks. That's man-made. So we want to substitute our doing for God's doing. So they made bricks, and the bricks took the place of rocks. And now that their major purpose was to disassociate themselves from God, so now they said, let's build a tower and totally go to war with God and make a name for ourselves and accomplish that dissociation. But their main thing was making the bricks, because that showed that they were changing what God made into what they made and substituting it. And that's why there's a tremendous contrast between the Mishkan and the Tower of Bavel, right? The purpose of the Tower of Bavel was to make for themselves a name. Disassociate them from God. They should take the place of God controlling the world. And the purpose of the Mishkan is to build a place for God's name. Mamish, the opposite. By Migdal Bavel, it created Pirud. It created, scattering and disunity. But the Mishkan causes unity. Everybody unifies around the Mishkan. The Mishkan is one unit. Also, by the Migdal Bavel, their languages were confused and confounded. And in the Mishkan, the ultimate Lashon HaKodesh, mentioning God's real name, Yudke Vavke, was only in the Mishkan. In the Mikdash, that's where the height of Lashon HaKodesh was, and in Migdal Bavel, the Lashonos were confounded and separated. Now the Ramban says, the main Hashros HaShchina, the main thing that brought the Shechina into the Mishkan was the Aron. In fact, the Aron, the Luchos, were a continuation of God's presence being on Har Sinai, and then it went into the Mishkan and then into the hearts of every Jew. So the main way of bringing that Shechina into the heart was through the Torah. And that's why it says, V'yikhu li truma, the Yikhu also is going on the Torah. Ki lekach tov nosati lochem, Torosi al tazovu. You're taking God with the Torah. So it was the Aron and the other Kalim, the Menorah and the Shulchan and the Mizbeach, all of them served the Aron. But the Aron was the main thing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Holy of Holies was the Aron. And everything else surrounded that. So the way to bring God from Har Sinai into your heart is through the Aron, through the Torah. Okay? So therefore, the main thing of the Mishkan was the Kalim, the Aron, and the other vessels that ministered to the Aron. That was the main thing of the Mishkan. And the fact that you had a Mishkan, in other words, an area around that was secondary, because God's presence really didn't dwell in the Mishkan. It dwelled in the heart of every Jew, like we said. And therefore, and the Mishkan was only the external view of the fact that God's presence was in the heart of every Jew. Therefore, I want to explain the following Gemara. The Gemara says that when God told Moshe to build the Mishkan, he told him to build first the Mishkan, the environment itself, the walls and whatever of the Mishkan itself, and then to make the Aron and the Kalim. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he told it over to Bezalel, said it differently. He told him first to make the Kalim, the vessels, and then to build the Mishkan. So Bezalel said, that's not the way of the world. Person doesn't make his furniture and then build the house around it. If I make the furniture first, where am I going to put it? Must be that God told you first to build the building and then to make the furniture. And Moshe said, you were in the shadow of God and you knew what he told me. And therefore he was called Bezalel, Bezalel Kael. You were in the shadow of God. So he's had a lot of questions on this. First of all, how did Moshe Rabbeinu switch it around? Right? Why did Moshe say it? Why did Moshe say it differently than he was told? And secondly, Tzel always signifies doubt, darkness, right? Light signifies being sure about something, right? Shadow of a doubt, right? Even in English, right? Tzilo shel safek. So why, if Bezalel knew what was really said, why was he in the shade? He should have been in the light. He should have been called Orkel, not Bezalel. So I want to say the following. There's a pasuk that says the following. Yoshev b'seser elyon, Bezalel shakai yislonan. Okay? What does the pasuk mean? The way I want to explain is the following. Yoshev b'seser, God in the heavens, he dwells really in the hidden parts of a person's heart. That's where God really dwells. From a heavenly viewpoint, God's presence is in the heart, b'seser, hidden in the heart of every Jew. But Bezalel, in this world, which is like the shadow of the spiritual world, then Bezalel shakai yislonon. Shakai means God who made the boundaries of this world. In this bounded, limited world, physical world, there God, what's it called, dwells in the shade. Meaning, in the physical apparitions that represent that inner hidden heart of the Jewish people. But here, the apparition of God's presence is in a building. But that's only the shade. That's not the real thing. That's the way that it appears in this world. When Moshe Rabbeinu was up on Har Sinai, and God gave him the tzivui, so he heard, the main thing over here is the aron, because when you take that, you bring God into the hidden parts of your heart. And the secondary thing is that there'll be a building where people will feel God's presence. But the truth is, where is God really dwelling? Hidden in the hearts of every Jew. That's how things are looked upon from the heavenly view. Yoshev b'seser elyon. From up there, from God's perspective, God dwells in the secrets of the heart. And therefore, when God gave Moshe Rabbeinu the tzivoy, and Moshe was up there looking from God's perspective, first comes the Aron and the other vessels that serve it, and then the enverins of the Mishkan, the building itself. Because really, it's the Aron and the Torah that bring God's presence into the heart of every Jew. And the Mishkan is a secondary thing. That's only where you see it. But when the Torah was brought down into this world, and now Bezalel was looking from the shadow, from the this world perspective, he said, this is not the way of the world. In the way of the world, you don't first make the furniture and then build the house. First you build the house and make the furniture. So from a worldly perspective, Bezalel shakai, from the world where God said, this is a limited world, shakai, sha'omar li olam odai, he said, enough. He made the limits and boundaries of the world. There God dwells in the shadows. And where do you see God's presence? In a building. But really, where is God's real presence? Hidden away in the heart of every Jew. But first you need the building, and then you need the vessels to transfer that presence of God from the building into the hearts of the Jews. So that's why he was called Bezalel, Bezalel Kael. Right? He understood this worldly perspective of the Mishkan, whereas when Moshe was given it, it was the otherworldly perspective of the Mishkan. I was thinking, this also can explain the idea of a Shana Mu'beres. Right? Tomorrow we're going to start Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph, which is a leap year. But we don't call it a leap year. We call it a pregnant year. Shana Mu'beres. Why? I was thinking that that we have a combination between a solar year and a lunar year. Our main year is lunar, but it has to be in synchronization with the solar year, so the holidays never go into different seasons. Pesach is always in the spring. In order to do that, you can't have a completely lunar year like the Muslims have, because there would be an 11-day discrepancy every year, and the the days, the holidays would go 11 days earlier, and within 3 years would be a month earlier, and in 6 years would be 2 months earlier, so Pesach would be in the winter, then it would be in the fall, then it would be in the summer, like their Ramadan, lahavdol. So in order to make Pesach always fall in the spring, right, we always compensate the discrepancy between the lunar year, which is only 354 days, and the solar year, which is 365, and the seasons go according to the solar year, by adding every 19 years, 7 years with an extra month. And that, what's it called, makes it work out that the Pesach never comes out of the spring. That's called a pregnant year. Why? Because the moon represents the sun, right, represents this physical world. Everything open, light, right, you see the physical world, everything under the sun. Call it Tachas HaShemesh, that's a physical world. The moon is in the shadow of the sun. The moon represents the hidden parts of this world, where sometimes it even disappears, which is the Olam Haba, the spiritual world, which is many times hidden in this world. So, the solar year represents the physical world, and the lunar year represents the spiritual world. But there has to be a correspondence between them. The spiritual world can't exist by itself in this world without being synchronized with the physical. And the physical surely can't exist without the spiritual. Therefore, it's like an embryo. The embryo gets its life from the mother, who's on the outside, the physical side. He's the hidden inside. But there has to be a synchronization between them, because if there's no connection between the mother and the child, right, the child can't exist. So it's a shana mu'uberes, it's a pregnant year, where we take the physical outside, representing the mother, and the inner spiritual, hidden part, representing the child, and synchronize between them. That's the idea of a shana mu'uberes. And that's why the spiritual aspect of Pesach, which is freedom, renewal, always comes at the time of year when physically the world is in renewal, spring. So they have to go together. In this world, you have to, the spiritual and the physical have to work together. Can't have one without the other. But in this spiritual world, from God's perspective, the ikar is that spiritual, hidden, inner, what's it called, heart of the Jew. But from this world, we see a building. And the building is where God's presence is. So that's why when God told Moshe Rabbeinu the Mishkan, he understood from that perspective first the Aron, which will bring the Torah into the Jew's heart, and then the building is a secondary thing. When it was brought down to this world, the building is the first thing, and then once you have the building and you have the shadow of God's presence in the building, then you can transfer it into the Jewish heart. So that's why the order was changed. So if we understand that and we synchronize our physical side and spiritual side, and we realize the purpose of the Mishkan is not to build a building for God, but to build something that will then transfer God's presence into the heart of every Jew, and we prepare our hearts and make it a place where God can dwell by making those donations and raising up all spiritual things, becoming givers and not takers, and more unbiased, and then we can be able to feel God's presence and invite Him into our heart. The heart is open to have God's presence. That is the real goal of the building of the Mishkan. Any questions? Okay. Welcome back. I